Hello, this is another Celtic Underground podcast. This is a football fans podcast and the people behind CelticUnderground.net. Sunday's victory was absolutely marvellous. Do you know, some of the stuff that I've seen online since that game. We're well versed in the fact that Celtic haven't used the term Old Firm for about 10 years, and certainly none of the fans do. They're obsessed with using it. Obviously, they understand that they need to be associated with such a big club as us. That's both the club and their fans. Anyway, fantastic victory. So we've got the views of Stylian Petrov, Brendan Rodgers, Steven Gerrard, getting all his knickers in a twist about, reminded me of the 1989 Cup Final, where if you ask them for any dodgy refereeing decisions, they'll go back to that one. So Steven Gerrard and some other punter that they signed in the summer talking, as well as Brendan Rodgers, Scott Brown and Stylian Petrov, as I say. Stylian Petrov talks us through that game and how he's not surprised at the gulf between the teams. He also talks about his game, the match for cancer, which is coming up this weekend, Petrov v Milner. If you are interested in going along to that game, it's taking place this Saturday, which of course is an empty weekend. There's no Celtic playing because it's an international weekend. So Saturday, September the 8th, with a 2 o'clock kickoff at Celtic Park. You can still get tickets by going online or by going to the Celtic ticket office. The Celtic Petrov team is managed by our own glorious Brendan Rodgers and captained by Stylian Petrov, with players such as Shea Given, Arthur Boric, Henrik Larsson, Scott Brown, Stoichkov, Maravchik, Paddy Bacourt, Tosh McKinley, Jackie McIntyre, I know I'm sticking to Tosh McKinley in that one, Gareth Barry, Luis Garcia, Mendieta, Val Haren, so fantastic players, Robbie Keane. Then we have the James Milner team, which is managed by the Brendan's successor at Liverpool, a guy who's got them playing almost as good football, that's Jurgen Klopp. Their captain, she is James Milner. Shea Given's also in their squad, as well as Chris Kirkland. And then they've got various others. And you'll hear Stan talking about the various names that are playing for both teams on the podcast. So, as I say, you can get the tickets online or from the ticket office. Money is going to the Celtic FC Foundation, the most successful football charity in British football, which is a fantastic achievement when you consider the resources and media coverage of our club, big in Scotland, but compare that to the hundreds of millions of pounds that they get down in England. It's just is a testament to our club. Also goes to the Stylian Petrov Foundation, and two cancer charity partners, the Beatson Cancer Charity and the Glasgow Children's Hospital Charity. I know everybody's had lots of tickets to shell out for. We've had the Champions League and then Europa League qualifiers. We've got Europa League group stages coming up. And obviously it's not long after season book renewals. Tickets are not too bad for this one. They are £6 for children and £14 for an adult. So an adult and a child can go for less than a normal league game ticket price. Anyway, I will leave my chat. This is Stylian Petrov, then Brendan Rodgers, Scott Brown, Steven Gerrard and some other punter. This is me, Harry Brady, with him, Stylian Petrov. Beautiful Sunday. This is my beautiful day. When you say that you love me. So, I'm joined now by Stylian Petrov. How are you, Stylian?
I'm good, thanks.
First questions first, before we get on to the meat and bones of the Petrov v Milner game at Celtic Park. How's your health these days?
Health is good. Feeling very strong, very good. It's been, to be honest, 6 years since I've been diagnosed, so still in remission, which is the main and the positive thing.
Do
Do you ever get fed up asking that question, being asked that question, and just want people to say, "How are you doing?"
No, at the start, yes, but now, no. Obviously, having our foundation as well, I got asked all the time. We've got a foundation to help people, and I know how important it is. And it's a question that you can't run away from it these days. And, you know, I've accepted it, and I kind of accept it now, and don't really bother me.
Okay, so... you've got your foundation. So do you want to give people who are listening a wee bit more information about exactly the work that your foundation does, and then we can touch on, or then we can talk about the game at the weekend and the benefit of that. So
yeah.
What's your foundation do?
Yeah, of course. Of course, and the fact that we first on this foundation just because we want to help people, helping people in a different way, you know, raising funds, raising awareness, helping people with a second opinion, help families in need. Everything is around cancer because we know how cancer affects people, not just the people who's been diagnosed, but also the closest people, families, closer friends as well. So what we do different kind of help. Like I said, we create events, we raise funds, awareness, and we put the money to the hospitals, you know, give it to the families, people in need. I know how important is the research, is how important is the treatments, and you know, if we don't do this kind of work, they'll never get better. That's how I survived. I've been under protocol, and you know, people raise money before, the protocol was good, and I managed to survive, and I want to make sure that I raise funds, donate, and make sure that the treatments will get better, and you have less side effects as well.
So one of the things obviously that any charity needs to do is to raise money. So we've got this game at the weekend. How did this game come about?
Me and James Mueller had this idea for a long, long time. But obviously, we were looking for a special venue. And when I put the idea across Celtic, we all know how big is Celtic Foundation, how much and what kind of work they do, how many people they help, and what difference they make. They won both straight away, and we partnered a company, three charities, and we decided again to be held in at Celtic Park.
And what sort of obviously you've had a great response. If you look at the team sheets, you've had a great response of people who are going to participate in this game. How do you pull in the favours? What do you do to get people to play?
Nothing. We just nicely ask them to play in a game for cancer. When it's for a great cause and worthy cause, nobody says no. Yeah, we had a couple no's. But most of them who's been asked, they give their time. They want to be part of it, and they want to feel the special atmosphere at Celtic Park.
So who's participating? Who's playing? Who's some of the names that people would recognise?
We have many playing. First starting with the two manager. My team will be managed by the Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers, and James Milner's team will be managed by Jurgen Klopp. Two great managers. Me and James will be playing. We have Christian Stoichkov. We got Scott Brown is playing. We've got Guy Scamendieta, Luis Garcia. We've got Joe Hart. We've got Henry Klassen, we've got Lubo, we've got Johan Mjalby, we've got many more, Paulo Ferreira, Jackie McNamara, Simon Donnelly. It's players that, I've played with and I played against, and many more. We bring in about 40 odd players, and it's so many names, and everybody give their time to be part of the great cause.
So one of the things that I notice whenever you speak to people who are top sports people, they have an amazing will to win. Does that diminish when you retire, or does that still hang about?
Oh, no. you're always going to have the competitive side of you're always going to compete, even if it's a charity or a friendly game. It's in us. We've grown up with it. We've always been competitive, and it's going to be a competitive game. If you look at the two teams, the players are still fit, the players are still competitive, and I think the fans will witness a good pacey game. Don't forget that some of the players are still playing, and you know, we had a late addition today. Ashley Young agreed to play as well, which he's fit, he's strong, he's still playing, which you know, we've got many current players that will bring a lot into the game.
Excellent. So if I move away from this game for a minute, there was another big game in Glasgow yesterday. What were your thoughts on the game yesterday? Were you surprised at Celtic's domination?
No, I wasn't. I was surprised that it was only 1-0, but you know, win is a win. For the first time, I think the fans were a little bit anxious before this game, because for the long time Celtic have not been challenged from Rangers, and we had a little bit of nerves before the game. But I think that after the first 20 minutes, everybody saw the difference between the two teams. You can see that Rangers are still miles away from Celtic, and they dominated it. And it was a shame that only he scored one goal.
What are your memories of your first Glasgow derby? And do you have any particular special memory? I can remember you scoring at Ibrox, and quite a lot of objects coming out of the Copeland Road end towards you. So what's your memory of your first Glasgow derby, and what's your best favourite memory of a Glasgow derby?
Well, the memory is about the build-up to the game, you know, the build-up to every season, because the build-up of the season of any game, it's about the Rangers game. Everything else is, you know, you prepare differently. The Rangers game is the one that you need to win, the one you need to be on the top of it. The electricity of the game, you know, the electric atmosphere, the build-up, the TV, the pundits, the players, everybody, is just, the hype becomes higher than a usual game. So it's different experience. It's madness. I call it madness, because everybody forget about everything else, and it's about, you know, Celtic Rangers and who's going to win and who's going to be the top. Is it going to be green and white City, or is it going to be the blue? So it's about that special character that this game bring into Scotland and around the world.
Do you think, just thinking about how many you must have played in of them, obviously you then go down to England where you play a team only twice a season as opposed to four times and more, because Celtic and the old Rangers often got to cup finals and things like that. Does it diminish the game that is played so often? Do you think it would be better if it was only played once or twice a season? Or do you think that's what Scottish football needs? It is the selling game, and so it needs to play four plus times?
No, I think if you can get as many Celtic Rangers game, it will be better, because this is what the fans live for. This is what people around the world want to see, Celtic Rangers. You can see the magnitude of the game now between Brendan Rodgers and Steven Gerrard. And now everybody's already preparing for the next one, because you're going to be the Ibrox. Steven Gerrard just got another central defender, and how they're going to react, you know, a few decisions went against, and the build-up is going to get bigger and bigger. And more you've got, more you have, better league is.
Did you enjoy playing at Ibrox? Were you intimidated playing at Ibrox? How did you find it?
No, but it's a away game, and you need to prepare differently. Obviously, they've got the advantage of the home fans, but no, I was never intimidated. I think at the time when I played for Celtic, we had a very strong team, and don't forget that being in the Champions League and the UEFA Cup run, we've played against big teams, we beat some big teams, and you know, that kept us on our toes. And you know, the Rangers game for us is not intimidating. Actually, we were looking so much forward to it, and to play every time we get them, even away, because it was even sweeter when you win at Ibrox. You know, it brings even more joy.
Under Brendan Rodgers, Celtic have a really good record of winning must-win games. They've won every cup semi-final, every cup final, they've either won or drawn every game against the Rangers. The crucial games they've won. Last season in particular, it was the games against the lesser teams where there were some pretty dull performances, and that's where the draws and even one or two of the defeats came. Is it particularly difficult at Celtic when you are so much better than the bulk of the rest of the league? Is it difficult to actually sometimes play the lesser games as opposed to these big games against the likes of Rangers or Champions League games that you talk about?
No, it's very difficult. I can say from my own experience, and I can understand why Celtic, and in the last couple of years, Celtic haven't been pushed. They haven't really been challenged. And sometimes that if you drop 10 or 15 points a season, you're still going to win the games, the league, even when you win against Rangers, because the team have the respect and you already have your own style with a good manager. But when we were involved, we had a very, very good Rangers team. So for us, we needed to be at top of our game every game. We weren't allowed to lose points or goals, because if you remember, we lost the league by one goal, and a few years after we lost it by one point. So that just shows you how close was the league.
So back on to this game at the weekend. Obviously, it's enjoyable to go and watch all these players that you talked about, but it's at the end of the day, it's the most important thing is that it's for your cancer trust and for the Celtic FC Foundation. What sort of a difference can people make just by going along to this game? What difference does it make people coming along, buying a ticket and attending?
Buying a ticket always will raise more funds and will give more chance for people to survive, to have better treatments. But mainly, they will show that Celtic is a special place and it rises for the special occasion and it gives hope. Because when you create and have an event like that in a special place, that means that people, whoever fight cancer, know the people that we're thinking of them, and we try to help with everything we can, and we give them hope. And hope is a thing that you want, and we hope we can give them enough hope and show them that we are there and we try to help.
Okay. With that, Stelian Petrov, I will say good luck for the weekend. I hope your team wins, and thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
So how did you see it? I mean, obviously, clearly, there's a big build-up here.
Yeah, there's always a big build-up. We didn't pay any attention to it. And we came here and we knew what we had to do in front of 60,000 Celtic fans, and we done it. I think we've done our talking on the park yet again. We've dictated play for 90 minutes, and we could have scored a few more goals if it wasn't because of Griggsy. I thought he was fantastic for Rangers today.
It was only 1-0, but is that as dominant as
Old Firm? Yeah, I think they were a bit leggy. I think they've been away from home, travelling and stuff like that, and they didn't want to press us, so they let us dictate the play and we controlled the game for pretty much 90 minutes, and I think they've had one shot on target the whole game. But it's all about us today. It's about how well we played, and everyone in that dressing room, and everyone's been trying to knock us down the last couple of weeks, but we stick together and we're a great team. We've got great spirit in that dressing room, no matter what anybody says.
On that, Scott, how unsettling has it been with the talk of Dedrick a couple of weeks ago and then Musa leaving on Friday? Has that affected you at all?
It's a big football club. There's always going to be chat about people leaving, people coming in, and that's what happens when they've been playing so well, and people have obviously going to put bids in and want to take our players because they've done exceptional for us in the last couple of seasons. Moose has done the exact same. Dedo's been the same as well. But then you've got people like Kieran Tierney, Callum McGregor, who's been exceptional as well. So for us, there's always going to be talk about people leaving, people coming in, but it's about what we do on the field, and yet again we do talking on the pitch.
Players always talk about how strong a captain you have, the spirit you keep. I mean, the last 2 weeks, has that been as tough a test as you've known, just to try and keep the players?
It's been fine. The lads have came in, we've all been in good spirits. Maybe years of says we've not been, but we've been in great spirits. We've been having a good couple of weeks training. That's the third victory in a row with a clean sheet. So for us, we've been all fine. And what happens is always, as I say, is always going to be talk, but it's about what we do on the pitch.
The manager said that he brought in senior pros like yourself in the last couple of days. What has your role been in this last 48 hours to get to this point?
To win a game.
How did you get to that point?
Scoring goals.
Yeah.
just train well, make sure everything's going as well as planned, and that's what's happened. As I say, there's always going to be a little bumps in a ship when we're going along, but it's about how we come back, how we bounce back, and we've bounced back stronger and pretty much fitter than everyone. And the way we came in today's game, we've dictated it from start to finish, and it shows you that the team spirit's very, very strong here.
You get to half-time without having made the breakthrough. Does it question you a little bit, or do you just
keep going? You could question us all you want, but we never question our own ability. It could take 90 minutes, it could take 95 minutes before we score a goal, but we always believe that we're going to win the game, especially in front of the 60,000 Celtic fans.
Did you think it could be more
but
for Alan McGregor?
Yeah, as I say, Griggs was brilliant for Rangers today. He's made a few great saves. Craigie's had one save to make in 90 minutes, and it shows you the class of Griggs and Craigie as well. And once they're called upon, and they do always deliver, but we were lucky enough to get the goal, and if it wasn't because of Griggs, it could have been a few more.
He also appears to have lashed out at Christopher Ayer. How did you see that? What did you think of
the incident? No, I've seen it. When was
that? The first half?
Nah, I've not seen that yet.
When Stephen Gerrard's come in, Rangers have built momentum. Psychologically, how important did you think it was to win today, to end their run and make a statement?
I think for us, we know once we turn up, we've got quality all over the park, and we believe that we can beat anyone, especially at Celtic Park. We've been over to Ibrox, we've beaten them there, we've beaten them at Celtic Park, so it's about how we go on from now on. It's not about talking about Rangers, it's about talking about us and how well we've played.
How big a player is in charm, do you think?
Obviously. He's been exceptional. The way he creates chances, his vision, but he's also finishing as well. He was unlucky not to score a second goal, and Griggs is a great save, hits the bar yet again, but it's a top quality player that he is, and he always believes in his own ability, and he believes that he can create chances and score goals, and yet again he's done it for us today.
So you can epitomise the patience that you've got shown these games as well.
Yeah, they sat off and they've probably seen videos of teams sitting off and making it hard for us, but eventually we got the chance and we've managed to take it, and that's what a good team does, and we keep the ball, we're very, very patient, and we wait for our chance.
He's obviously been a coach well as well, but Dedrick in the last two games, he's been immense.
Yeah, he's been exceptional. Everyone knows what Dedrick can do on the park, and he's done that yet again. Since he's came back in, it's been three clean sheets, and that's why we want Dedrick here.
Yeah, I've always come into these games and tried to ensure that the players have a calmness in order for us to play well. And yeah, first and foremost, to have a chance of winning, you have to perform. And I thought we performed exceptionally well. I think Alan McGregor's made some outstanding saves on the crossbar. It probably kept the scoreline down a little bit, but it's a huge credit to the players, how we had to defend. Any moments of danger, we were pressing really aggressive and worked our socks off, which you have to do. It's an obligation in the game. And then you've seen the composure we had with the ball in order to stay patient, to move it and create opportunities. So it was an outstanding win for us, but equally a very, very good performance.
On Olivier and Cham. Obviously, a great counter-attacking goal, but man of the match, and
a massive
goal in your eyes for his performance today.
Yeah, I thought we had a host of really good players today. I thought Dedrick Boyata was outstanding. Anything that comes into the box, defended it. So the back four goalkeeper, very good. Like you say, the team functioned very well. Positions on the pitch was good. But he's a real talent, Olivier. You've seen his power, you see his passing ability, and then his speed to get up on the counter-attack to finish it off. Great, great goal. He's still got to travel 65, 70 yards up the pitch, but how he worked the ball, worked the space, and then for him to finish, it was a very good goal.
You see what the celebrations at the end, does it just mean that wee bit more with everything that's happening and on going into that international break as well?
I think that we do it every game. It doesn't matter who we play. I think it's always clear. We always appreciate the support. Win, lose or draw here. Of course, these games are extra special for the supporters, and I have to congratulate them. I thought the atmosphere was incredible today. It was a real wall of noise that was going around the stadium. So they'll be happy. The players are happy, and of course I'm delighted with the performance.
What was your take on the alleged foul in the build up to the winning goal?
No, I didn't see it as a foul. I thought the ball came out of the box and both of them have come together. There wasn't a lot of contact from both, really. And I think what's most important is the referee. You know, Wally's right on the spot, so he sees it. You still have a lot of work to do when you're breaking away, but how we broke away and got the goal was very impressive.
Stevens just said there that he thinks the gap is perhaps narrower than last season, and he expects it to be even narrower again come December. What's your take? Do you think the two teams are closer together now? For
I think that, like you will do as a coach and as a manager, you expect as the season goes on for your team to improve. So Stephen will expect his team to be better, and I'll expect my team to be better. But I think what we showed today was the, as I said, the spirit, which is very clear in the team, but also the quality. And the guys took the opportunity very, very well. But there's no doubt that Stephen going in there, he's made a difference to them. As I said, it's a real treacherous period, this period of the season up in Scotland. So, but he's brought in some good players. You can see the good tactical discipline in the game, and he's done very, very well.
Were you surprised at the end of that Conor
McGregor remained on the pitch? Or did he catch out on Christopher Ayer? I haven't seen it, so I've got nothing to add to it.
After losing Moose on Friday night, Ben, was it important to get the result today?
I think it's the sort of whole episode really was disappointing, really. You know, and I'll say a bit on it, and then that'll be it then, because it's obviously been very much one way. I think that, like I say, I had a really close relationship with Mr. Enticed him to come to here with a plan going forward. And he was desperate for the move, of course. We wanted to try and keep him because we didn't have another option. But then there was a line that was overstepped from a behaviour perspective. And I've been in the situations enough times to know whether you can pull it back or not. And like I say, I needed to speak to Moose, and I had a few other senior members of my staff with me. And I just asked him, you know, can you tell the guys and me in the room here that you received promises from me or any member of Celtic? And he was very clearly and categorically said no. So once he said that, that was fine then. I said, you can now go if you can get the move. Because as I said, there's a lot of integrity here within our staff, with our team and how we work. And I understand the model here at Celtic very much about these talents coming in. You develop them and then you move them on. So, but it was, as I said, there was a lot of stuff that was said which was not so nice and ironically not true. So, but listen, Mr's got his move. He's back. He's happy. Deep down, I know he's a good boy. He's done great for us here, and I wish him all the very best at Leon.
You're left a striker down, though, Brendan. How much of a problem is that for you?
Well, I have to deal with it. I think the bigger picture is always, I always think of that. I think of Celtic, I think of the squad, I think of the spirit within the team. I've got young Ryan Christie, you know, there's opportunities for him now. Like you say, we're down a striker, but I'll always protect the mentality of the group. And like I say, we've got other young players that can come in and come through. And like I say, I'm looking forward to that coaching element now between now and the end of December, as opposed to talking about transfers.
Brendan, given that was all unfolding on Friday, was this a particularly difficult game to prepare for?
No. It was very easy. It was very easy. I think that, like I say, you have to park the stuff that was going on. And like I say, after it all happened, I worked closely with all the players, in particular my senior players, and I pulled them into my office and explained exactly where we were at. And they respected that. And then we walk out of the room and we get on with it. And I think you see in the performance today, you know, the spirit of the team and as well as that quality. So it can be an exciting season for us again. And like I say, we deserve a rest now. Some of the players will be international duty, but we'll come back and really look to push on between now and Christmas.
Brendan, you said you didn't have cover for Moussa Dembele to get someone in. Do you feel let down by the board, and will you be having a chat with them over things that you maybe thought were promises in your side?
No, I didn't want to go down all that route again. You know, it was very clear. It should have been a simple summer for us in terms of getting in three, maximum four players that we wanted. It didn't happen. Okay, we've got some other players in, good players that will come in and help us. We'll have a review like we always do, so it's nothing new. We'll sit and we'll look at it and then we'll push on with the rest of the season.
Okay, obviously been uncertainty and speculation about Boyata and Ncham. Do their performances today give you hope and encouragement that you can move forward and put that episode and the uncertainty behind you?
Yeah, I think, again, that's management, that's your job. You know, you can't let these things drift. You know, there was interest in, big interest in Olivier, and obviously with Dedrick as well. But again, you sit down, you talk with the players, you look at the pathway forward for them. I'm sure, you know, that they're going to leave at some point. But then you have to be able to put them in a mindset that so that they see that this is still an opportunity for them, and then they will move on in the future. So, and I think you've seen both players' performance. Dedrick Boyata was, you know, he was outstanding today, and that's a shame for us in the Champions League. You know, however, it's gone. He was great today, and he'll help us for the rest of the season. And Olivier was first class.
Was that a concern at all, Brendan, going into a game as important as this, that, you know, the Dembele situation didn't affect the spirit? You've talked a lot about the spirit, but he's got friends in there are alliances he's formed. Does it become a concern as the manager? Am I going to be able to bring this back together?
Yeah, it can be, Keith. I think I think the communication is important. You know, with the players, there's only three things I promised them. And I said it in the first day I come in, and I said to every new player, my communication is open. That's the first point. I'm never going to tell you something in 6 months that I can tell you now. Whether you want to hear it or not, it's entirely up to you. In the modern game, now sometimes pride can get hurt, but my communication is always open. I'll always guarantee them and promise them quality in the work. I think hopefully they'll develop as individual players. And the third thing, I'm fiercely ambitious. I'm ambitious for the club to have success, and I'm ambitious for them. Their careers are short, so I want to help them. Apart from that, I can't promise them anything. They need a different manager. But those three things I can guarantee. So it's the case, like I say, of managing that. It's a difficult situation. It's a delicate one. But like you say, you have to communicate, and very quickly we pull in the players. They understand how we want to develop. And like I say, you've seen the performance today, how the intensity and the quality of the work. So so now we can move on.
Turning that situation like that into your advantage, almost you can use it as a shot in the arm to help galvanise.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I've always seen, like I say, these type of games as opportunities. You know, and the players took the opportunity very well.
Okay.
Enjoy your internet. How hot is it in here?
The disruption of this past week and the dominance in this derby game, probably the most dominant derby game you've had since you've been managed, that showed the mentality of the players?
Yeah, I think it showed the togetherness. And like you say, it was a very good performance. But I expect us to improve. You know, we've got a couple of other players in that'll help the squad, and like you say, I think what we've seen the identity of the team today under big pressure, like we've seen in other games, whether it's been Ibrox or Hampden, whatever, and I think that's shone through there, the quality of the football and the spirit of the team. So very happy with the result, of course. Now I'll have a break for a little while, and we'll be back again in a few weeks. Well done. Cheers. Thank you.
I think in the 90 minutes I felt Celtic were better in the first 45 minutes, certainly in possession, although a lot of the possession was in front of us, and I thought our shape was comfortable, besides probably one or two moments when they've hit the bar with a strike, and I think they hit the bar again. Disappointed in my team that when we won the ball back we didn't keep it well enough in the first half, and we were just happy in our shape, but I felt like we were hanging on a little bit in the opening 45. But you know, after what we'd been through in midweek, we asked as the game plan, could we be at least level at half time? So in terms of the scoreline, we were satisfied at half time. We asked the players to have more courage on the ball in possession, make passes, ask more questions of Celtic, and I thought second 45 we made it a contest. I thought we were much better. We had one or two decent openings. One with Morelos with a shot that got saved, and one with James where, you know, we expect him to maybe work the keeper a bit more. So yeah, disappointed in the result, but second half a lot more pleased with my team.
You seem to be really angry at the build up to the Celtic goal in terms of the foul on Jack.
For me it's a foul. For me it's a foul, and it's also a foul for the fourth official. He's shouting down his mic, foul, foul, foul. The referee in the middle has ignored that advice. But for me, it's a blatant foul. He's sweeped his legs. Jacko done well to get himself in between the man and the ball. And for me, it's a clear foul.
Have you spoke to the referee afterwards?
Yeah, yeah.
What was he saying to you?
He disagreed. He doesn't think it's a foul. I think when he sees it, he hadn't seen the incident, but I think when he sees it, I think he'll change his mind, because for me, it's a blatant foul.
You've seen it again as well, Stephen?
I've seen it again, yeah, five times. For me, it's a foul.
What's sort of big positive you take from this game, looking forward, not necessarily
the result? I think it's difficult to take positives from this game because we've just lost. But, you know, we're together 12, 14 weeks. We've had a lot of hurdles, a lot of challenges, and the players have given me absolutely anything, so I can't be too critical of them. We played against a team today that have been together for 2 years, but even prior to that, you know, they've got a lot more experience than this new group of players that we're working with. They know how to win. We know they're a good team here. We know they were going to have periods of possession. But I've seen enough today. I've seen enough today to feel if we can get bodies back, get new signings up to speed. I believe we can be a match for Celtic, certainly in the next fixture. I think Rangers have been blew away in previous derby games, completely annihilated in scorelines that are not acceptable. I'm not saying 1-0 is acceptable, but I've seen enough today that we're working in the right direction, and I've seen enough today that, you know, with some more improvements and training time on the field to drill them and improve and grow, I believe down the line we're moving in the right direction to close it.
How much impact did Thursday night's match have?
It's difficult to say. Look, I can sit here and make excuses at the end of the day. I'm not really one who'd like to miss excuses. They played Thursday night as well. Of course, we were miles away and miles away, but we actually finished the game really strong and in a decent place with energy, and we were making passes and getting in down the sides. I think it'd be a cheap one for me to say, oh, it was because of Thursday night. But, of course, going into these games, you prefer the full week to drill and work on it, and, you know, 48 hours is not enough. One session is not enough.
Stephen, your experience with the referee tend to act on that fourth official's advice?
Well, why are they there? You say, for example, we're talking about a red card incident for them or for us, and the fourth official saying it's a red. I think he'd come over, speak to him, and take the advice. Now, if he did and we were in the wrong and one of my men gets sent off, I'd look at it and I'd say it's a red card. But he hasn't come over to chat about it. But he shouted, look back at the cameras, I'm sure you'll see it on Match of the Day. He's shouting foul, foul, foul. A few minutes later, maybe 5-6 minutes later, another foul that happened on us. The fourth official shouting foul, 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 and we don't get that one either.
In that respect, would you have had no complaints if Alan McGregor was sent off?
No.
In the first half?
No.
What did you make of that?
I think he's lashed out.
Will you speak to him about that? Is it something you've been keeping?
Of course I will, yeah. Of course I will, yeah. I'll speak to him about it, yeah. Of course I will. Look, I'm honest. What I see, I'll tell you what I see. I'm not going to... If something's blatant, it's blatant, but for me, you know, we've missed one there.
Would you expect retrospective action potentially?
I can't control them decisions, to be honest.
Steve, did managing in this game for the first time live up to all your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the atmosphere is good. I was very excited, you know. I've enjoyed the experience. You know, I'll evaluate my own performance, see what we thought we'd done well, see what we thought we maybe should have done a little bit different, and I'll try and improve as well. But you know, I felt second half we gave a real good account of ourselves. First half, I don't think we had enough players out there that wanted to keep the ball and rest on the ball. We kept giving it back to Celtic. And then, you know, if you keep giving the ball back to good teams, you're going to be under a lot of pressure.
After the incident with Jack and Roger, there's still a lot for Celtic to do to get the goal. Yeah,
I'll look at that. Listen, after the incident, they've gone on a great counter-attack and scored a good goal. If there was no foul in the incident, you know, I'll hold my hand up here and say we got cut up by a good team and it was a fantastic goal. Congratulations. But surely you can understand my frustrations that it's a clear foul.
Stephen, reports suggesting that you're about to sign Gareth McCauley. Can you develop it into that?
I hope that's going to be the case, yeah.
Thank you. relatively soon? Are we expecting, is it like days?
Well, there's no major rush on it, but yeah, the quicker we can get him in, obviously, the better. But he's being called up to the Northern Ireland international squad, so we won't see him for a couple of weeks, but we're hoping that'll happen in the near future. Yeah.
Would that deal be the last one that you do?
Yeah, it'll be the last one.
This break now, it's your first break, your first chance to breathe, really. How do you assess?
I think we've done ever so well. Obviously, Thursday night was a big moment, the first thing we could achieve together as a team. You know, coming here today and getting the right result, it would have been the perfect start in terms of staff and the players becoming a group. It's a setback today in terms of the result, but now it's about really, you know, praising the players for the run of games they've been on and what they've achieved so far, and now we need to go on another run of games. You know, the fixture schedule's a little bit kinder after the break and we need to go on another run of games. That's what competing at the top's about, and that's what achieving things is about. You learn from your setbacks, you take them on the chin even though they hurt, and you move on and try and improve. That's me as well as the players.
It's 5 points from first 12. Was that disappointment or an accurate reflection or
I think in the main it's disappointing. If you just sit there and think 5 out of 12 for a club like Rangers, it's disappointing. But if you look at the fixtures, what we had to face in terms of being a brand new group of staff, a brand new group of players, you know, Aberdeen away, Motherwell away, Celtic away in your first four, away to Kilmarnock, sandwiched in the middle of that, and then 8 Europa League games with travel in that short space of time. I'm well pleased where we are right now. Of course, we've got to try and make the points up where we've gone wrong, but I believe the next time this derby comes around, we'll be better. We'll be more used to each other. And hopefully, we're still in a good place to go and try and make up for the points we've lost today.
Thanks, Kevin. Cheers. Would you expect an explanation on what happened?
I won't see that referee now. I've already spoke to him. We had a decent chat. I've said my piece, and I hope next time I see him and we have a little chat about it, he understands he's made a mistake. Okay. Cheers.
Disappointed. But we was in the game for the whole game. I think, obviously, they have a few chances across the game. So do we, but disappointed. We've been unbeaten for 12 games and we lose 1-0, but I'm proud of the team that I play for, and I'm proud of all the boys of how they performed, and I think we'll only keep growing.
Manager was disappointed with the refereeing that led up to the Celtic goal. Did you think it was a foul as well?
It's a foul. Realistically, it's a foul, and I think everyone who watches it will know it's a foul. But I think when you're away and the crowd don't cheer for you to get a foul, it doesn't get given, but anything their crowd cheer for is a whistle and a free kick, so you have to expect it.
So you made a difference, the fact that if there was one of the Rangers fans or whatnot, the referee sort of been swayed by the crowd in a sense?
I just think, as I said, that when their crowd make a noise, a big noise, and the referee gives them everything, and when you have obviously only a small portion of the crowd and you don't get a noise, then it was a lot of play-ons when they made fouls. But I'm not going to sit here and criticise it, because at the end of the day we've lost the game, and yeah, it's a foul in the build-up, but I can't just only blame that.
Did the players stop? Did you click the whistle?
No, I don't know. It carried on playing, but realistically, we're about to win the ball on the edge of their box, and next minute, our player's on the floor and they're running away with it. So, what you want him to do is he's on the floor. He can't do anything. He can't.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. Did you guys stop?
No, we carried on. We carried on defending. No, we carried on defending, but their players are able to run 80 yards with the ball. You can't stop it. We're marking a striker, but realistically, it's a foul.
You were booked for a free kick incident. How did you see?
What did you think?
Well,
put it this way, if that makes someone go to ground, then I must be the strongest man in history, because my one finger must be so strong that makes someone go to ground. But again, the crowd make a noise, it's a free kick, and I get a yellow card.
You feel it went down too easy?
Listen, I'm not going to come here and blame the referee for our whole performance, but I thought we'd give a good account of ourselves. But at crucial times in games, when it doesn't go your way, obviously, you feel disappointed.
You were under siege for long periods. Was there a point where you thought, we're going to see this through, we can maybe break, score?
No, I think we give them a little bit too much respect first half. I don't think we really got out and pressurised them. I think we let them play and we defended a little bit too deep. I think second half, the game is in the balance. I think we started playing football a little bit more like we do. And I think just before they score, I think you start to hear their crowd getting a little bit edgy, a bit. Their players start forcing things a little bit, and that's what we wanted, that's what we knew would happen. And the game plan was working, but then obviously the goal lifts them, lifts the whole team, lifts the crowd, and then it was a tougher time to get back.
How do you see the gap between the teams?
Not big. Obviously, this is the first time I've played in a derby, but I've just said that when I come here in pre-season, I heard a lot of people saying how much better they were, how they beat Rangers 5-0 last year, and I thought they were going to be like Barcelona. But I'm not just saying that. I thought there was such a down within our own football club of how big the gap was that I think it was like some of our players, they're maybe not here anymore, but we're looking at them like they're nowhere near catchable. And to be honest, I'm not going to say they're not a good team. They're a good team. I think they deserve respect. But I think we're getting closer. I think the players that the manager's brought in, I think we've been together for, 2-3 months. And I think we're going to get closer.
You're not playing them again until the end of December. Were you wishing you could play them again next weekend?
No, I think I need a rest. It's been a long few months. We played a lot of football, and I think the whole team need a rest. But we've just got to go on another run now. We was unbeaten in 12 games, which I think is good for a team that's literally just come together. There's been 13, 14 new faces. So we've just got to come back refreshed, go on another run, and then get ready for December when the next one comes.
Just having 80 minutes and we see how close the teams are, does that give you a firm, your confidence of what you can achieve this season? Yeah, 100%.
Listen, I said at the start, I'm proud to be in this team. I think they gave everything. Each to a man gave absolutely everything, and I think the game plan was right. Maybe it was a little bit too deep in the first half, but it was frustrating them. They had a few chances. They're a good side, but I feel like we're going to get close to them.
Do you expect the title race to go the distance this year? Because previous seasons it's been over quite quickly for myself.
I can't sit here after 3 games or 4 games and say.
The way you are progressing.
Yeah, no, I think that we'll definitely give everything. As I said, we just need to go on a run ourselves now after the international break and win games of football every week, and then we'll see where it takes us.
Colin, to go back to the point you were making about the referee being influenced by the crowd, his decisions, how much would it have helped Rangers to have more supporters here?
I don't know, because even if there's 7,000 Rangers fans, there's still, 53,000 Celtic fans. So I just think it's important for the official to be strong and just play the game himself. He doesn't have to give a free kick when the crowd's up or if it's not a free kick. Do you know what I mean? Just play the game yourself. But listen, I'm not here to criticise him. He's got a tough job. It's probably one of the best atmospheres in the world at both stadiums. So they're probably going to get swayed a little bit. But as I said, I'm not here to criticise him. I just think that in the goal, he's made a wrong decision.
Manager said after the game that he's trying to sign Gareth McGoy, looks like another central defender. Yeah. You've got a really sharp competition.
Yeah, definitely. I think that every team I've ever played in had 4 centre-halves, and you probably need it throughout the season. We're going to play probably up to 60 games maybe this year with the Europa League now, and we're going to need faces and we're going to need bodies and competition and people putting everyone on their toes, and hopefully it gets done and there's another face in our squad.
Thank you.
Here's what I want you all to do for me.
Bang! Caught you looking for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the roll below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on!
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the Frank Guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist. Preach the teach the
cause don't they never had this?
Number one. Never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome of public enemy. Used, abused without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Was the start of my last jam, so here it is again, another death jam. But since I gave you all a little something that I knew you lacked, they still consider me a new jack. All the critics you can hang on my hold the rope, but they hope to the Pope and pray it ain't dope. The follower of Farrakhan, don't tell me that you understand until you hear the man. The book of the new school rap game, writers treat me like Coltrane, insane. Yes to them, but to me, I'm a different kind. We're brothers of the same mind, unblind, caught in the middle and not surrendering. I don't rhyme for the sake of riddling. So claim that I'm a smuggler. Some say I never heard of ya. A rap burglar. False media. We don't need it, do we?
It's fake, that's what it be to you. Dig me. Yo, Terminator X. Step up on the stand and show these people what time it is, boy. Don't believe the hype.
A sequel. As an equal, can I get this through to you? My 98 booming with a trunk of funk. All the jealous punks can't stop the dunk. Coming from the school of hard knocks. Some perpetrate, they drink Clorox. Attack the blacks because I know they lack exact. The cold facts, and still they try to Xerox. The leader of the new school, uncool. Never played the fool, just made the rules. Remember there's a need to get alarm. Again I said I was a time bomb. In the daytime, radio scared of me, cause I'm mad, plus I'm the enemy. They can't come on and play me in prime time, cause I know the time, plus I'm getting mine. I get on the mix late in the night, they know I'm living right, so here goes the mic sight. Before I let it go, don't rush my show. You try to reach and grab and get elbow. Word to herb, yo, if you can't swing this, learn the words, you might sing this. Just a little bit of the taste of the bass for you. As you get up and dance at the LQ, with some deny it, defy it, I swing bolos. And then they clear the lane, I go solo. The meaning of all of that to media is the whack. As you believe it's true, it blows me through the roof. Suckers, liars, give me a shovel. Some writers I know are damn devils. From them I say don't believe the hype.
Yo Chuck, they must be on the pipe, right?
Their pens and pads I snatch cause I've had it. I'm not an addict, fiend it for static. I see their tape recorder and I grab it.
No you can't have it back, silly rabbit.
I'm going to my media assassin, Harry Allen, I gotta ask him.
Yo Harry, you're a writer, are we that tight?
Don't believe the hype.
All to do for me.
Don't believe it. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe it. Don't believe the hype.
Yeah. I got flavor in all those things you know.
Yeah, boy, part two bum rush the show. Yo, Griff.
Get the green, black, and red in. Gold down, countdown to Armageddon. 88, you wait, the S1s will. Put the left in effect and I still will. Rock the hard jams, treat it like a seminar. Reach the bourgeois and rock the boulevard. Some say I'm negative, but then I'm positive. What I got to give?
The media says this.
Red,
yo,
black,
don't
and green.
That hype. They got to be,
you know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? Yo, the Megas got them going up to see Captain Kirk like a jerk and they out of work. Let me tell you a little something, man. A lot of people on daytime radio are scared of us because they too ignorant to understand the lyrics of the truth that we pumping into them clouds, that brain cells, that they're spun under the wooden skulls they call caps, you know what I'm saying? But the S1s are straightening it out quick, fast, in a hurry. Don't worry, flavor vision ain't blurry, you know what I'm saying?